I'm Donna Beta, and this is Pistol Gets New Stars. The reason Tina didn't have a bed anymore was that she'd left the house for an hour and a half in the middle of the day. Generally, she didn't leave at all, except sometimes to take Pistol to preschool. Pistol's name was Petal, but Tina called her Pistol, which is how she said her own name. She was red-haired and freckled and had an underbite, which might be part of the reason her language skills weren't as advanced as most four-year-olds. Tina didn't leave the house because she was a freelance ghostwriter who typed until she was so fatigued that her focus locked and her eyes burned, and she had to lie on the floor and stare at the ceiling until she could see again. Sometimes she sent emails at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. She made good enough money, but every day she shook with terror that it might dry up, that she might not be able to support the two of them, that she might not be able to keep a bank account that was something to gaze securely upon like a boulder in midstream. The reason Tina was gone from the house was that the nanny had failed to pick Pistol up, and Tina had gotten a call that it was now costing her $5 a minute to have a teacher wait with the child who was crying hysterically in the background, no doubt because she was hungry for her lunch and maybe a nap. "Can you give her a cracker?" asked Tina. "I'll be right there." And then she said, "Where's Charlotte?" which was the nanny, who Pistol called Carlotte, which made no sense because the teacher had told her that Charlotte was on vacation in South Carolina. And why hadn't Tina made other arrangements? The teacher already thought Tina was a nutcase because Pistol was always late for school and sometimes her socks didn't match. The teacher did not care that this was how Pistol liked to dress and expected Tina or Carlotte to yank her from her half-finished toast and into her car seat, which resided most of the time in Carlotte's car and not in Tina's, which Tina remembered only when she turned into the parking lot of the preschool. Partly this was because she had been desperately calling Carlotte's cell phone and leaving messages. The teacher didn't check the status of Tina's car-seatedness or lack thereof, and so Tina was able to pay her fine, $100, and strap in little Pistol, the skin under her freckles red and swollen from crying, and drive to the nearest Target to get a car seat. She explained to Pistol that this was a special day because she was now a big enough girl to get a booster seat instead of a car seat, which pleased Pistol, especially when she also got a new 50-pack of washable markers and a bag of cheddar goldfish. When she finally pulled back into her driveway, water was pouring from under the front door onto the porch. "Our house is floating," said Pistol, which it wasn't. "Stay here a minute, sweetie," said Tina. The push of water made it hard to open the door. Inside, she found waterfalls streaming from the light fixtures and cascades on the stairs. She did the right things, wading through to shut off the power, finding the source, the upstairs toilet, and turning off its valve. She sat on her bed to call the insurance company, realizing too late that the water had wicked up the hanging bedclothes and soaked the mattress where Tina hardly got any rest anyway. First, they read the long stanzas from the contract to her. Then they told her that they'd send someone to vacuum out the water, after which an adjuster would come. "We'll take care of you," they said. "Yeah, right," said Tina. "When?" Which comment they ignored.